I'm getting dirty looks from Devin, and I will the rest of the night. I did nothing wrong, just so everybody knows.
Okay, John, I've told Alan to stop drinking carbonation because he burps the whole time we record. So what does he do? He stops at Fizz and picks up like a 48-ounce soda so that I have to edit his belching out of the show.
No, you don't have to edit my belching.
And we're going to talk about the best player in the NBA. Can you cut that out? You can cut that out, right?
Welcome to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Cast. I am John English, the Germs guy, and with me is Otis the Town Drunk from the Andy Griffith Show. How you doing, Otis?
Welcome to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornBySports.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
Most excited to have a conversation tonight, as every time we think we have nothing to talk about, the sports world offers us a nugget. And they did it again today.
Yes. The Sports Illustrated article, let's talk about that. Sports Illustrated is doing something where they rank the top 100 players. ESPN will later try to outdo them by ranking the top 500 players. But this is a good launching pad for discussion, our top 100 players. And when they started yesterday and they put out their top 100 to 51, and there were no Jazz players, there was a little concerns, like, are they going to put Rudy and Derek and Gordon in the top 50? Because, you know, all three of them are definitely in the top 100. And then today we find out, yeah, they're all there.
Now,
in fact, they're all in top 40.
All right, help me out with this, because I went through and looked at the list today, and somehow I missed Rudy. And somehow I looked at him in the wrong order, unless I was looking at last year's, because they did this last year too, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
And Rudy was not ranked last year in their top 100.
Okay. And Gordon and Favors, I think, were like, what, 50-something and 79th or something like that. Was that last year's?
Yeah, last year. Derek Favors was 79 last year on their list. And Gordon Hayward was, what was he, 57?
Yeah, something like that. So where do they have
57.
Them? Where do they have them this year?
So this year, Rudy Gobert is ranked 39th. Derek Favors is 37th. And Gordon Hayward, I just lost him. I think he's 31.
All right,
yeah, he's 31.
All right, who else in the NBA got shafted to put these guys in the top 40? Somebody tell me right now. That's some good numbers. That's
no one below them that I'm going to complain about.
No, and I won't either. I'm just, seriously, those are good numbers to have three players. And that's, okay, before we even jump to Rudy Gobert and the fact that he's on this list now and the fact that that was a huge jump, let's talk about the jump that is Gordon Hayward and Derek Favors from 79th and 57th to top 40. I mean, I feel like we're listening to the weekly top 40 brought to you by, the Utah Jazz. But, I mean, seriously, to have those two jump that fast and that high in 1 year.
This is Casey Kasem, and out of nowhere, Rudy Gobert has jumped to number 39 on our board. Let's have a look at his numbers.
And anyone that says that John can't do voiceover, I don't think I've ever heard that, but I'm just saying, there's Casey Kasem for you guys. Can we pull a Shaggy? Okay, forget it. Bring up the numbers.
Zoinks the numbers. Okay. I don't know where he's going to finish on ESPN's, but I remember ESPN ranked Rudy at 317. He was seen as this, you know, Pavel Podkolzin giraffe of a experiment of a player. But it's not just his height and his blocking abilities, it's his decision making on defense. And he's like one of the top rebounding percentage guys in the league. He makes really good decisions. He doesn't even have to leave his feet to block shots. Most of his offense is just, you know, scooping up his rebounds and getting him there. I expect his offense to take a leap next year. I expect his defense to be that much better. And I think it's very encouraging that all these guys are in the top 40, because if you want to make the playoffs, then you better have your top three people up there. And maybe this is finally going to be the year where the Jazz have an all-star. But if there are 30 teams and you have three of the 40 best players, you're in good shape.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Before you carry too much into these rankings further, I want to point out something. I did read the explanation that was given for their rankings. So just so everybody knows, these rankings are done by Ben Golliver and Rob Mahoney. And there was some, I went through and read some of the reasoning behind what they did. I found one particular statement very handy in this, and I wanted to read it to you, John. I don't know if you read the same thing, but let me see if I can find it. Okay, so it says, the scope of our ranking is relatively simple. No weight is given to long-term development, and as little emphasis as possible is placed on team context. Those two phrases alone tells you where they're ranking these guys. They're trying to take it out of the team context and out of the development. Okay, so we're not even looking long-term development with Hayward or Gobert or Favors here. They're looking just the player themselves. If I'm understanding that correctly.
Yeah. And all three guys have improved every year, and there's no reason to believe that it won't keep happening this year.
No, I agree. And if you take their rankings and add to it player development, this year might be an interesting year, because I still think there's a lot of improvement development still on Gordon Hayward's side. We saw a huge jump from him this last year. I think we're going to see another big jump this year, because, and that's the thing with Gordon, he's developing year by year. And I think if we see a year where he lags just a bit in development, I think some people will be concerned, because that's just what Gordon's done. He's improved in development. And so I expect him to make another jump this year, but Rudy's got all sorts of jumping improvement and to make. And same with Favors. Favors, I think there's a lot we could see from him this year. So this jump could be even bigger this year than it was last year for all three players.
Yeah, one thing they point out when they're talking about Derek Favors is that he has such a steady pace to his improvement that's why they call him now the most underrated player in the league. And I think that's going to continue this year. I think, you know, you'll see him score a point or two more per game, rebound one or two more per game, you know, get his numbers up just a little bit, and that will be great, because so many people forget just how good he was last year. Yeah. And they point out that with the attention that Hayward and Gobert are going to get, because Hayward's going to be, he's one of the best at getting to the free throw line. He's probably going to, I would think he's going to finally start scoring 20 points a game, finally get his numbers up to that. But they pointed out, one thing they pointed out in their rankings, that eight players last year averaged at least 19 points, four rebounds, and four assists last year. And Hayward was one of them, and the other seven made the All-Star team.
Wow.
So it's time for him to finally get into that game.
Yeah, well, and the other thing to add to that is now the other aspect that Rob Mahoney and Golliver did not look at. They take out the development, but they also take out the team context. And here's my thought, John, and you now put that into the team context. I think that all three of players will get better, not just of their own doing, but I think you're going to see them get better because other players around them are getting better too. And it's going to be a symbiotic relationship. These three players, I think, will make their teammates better, but I think the teammates will make them better. I think we're going to see a drastic change in all three players, and part of that's due to the team concept that they play in.
Yep.
So I was surprised to read this list. I like it. It's and you and I tried to throw a little homework at you over messaging today to have you go back and look. Neither one of us, I think, could find beyond about 5 years ago a list of this nature being put out. Other than NBA rank, we haven't seen a list like this put out every year. So it's kind of a refreshing thing to see Sports Illustrated doing this now for, what, 2 or 3 years in a row now.
Yeah, I was trying to go back and see what they were doing with player projections during the Darren Williams, Carlos Boozer, Andre Kirilenko days. And I couldn't find any of the big sports sites. I found one called Straight Hoops, and I don't know if they're doing anything now. I'm just in their archives, but they had their own projections. And those guys, for the 2004 season, they projected Kirilenko to be the ninth best player in the league. And then the next year it was 21, and the next year 28. And he just kind of kept slipping every year when he didn't quite live up to his potential after his amazing All-Star year.
But you also look at that, and that was in conjunction with the rise of Darren Williams and Carlos Boozer as well. So you saw Kirilenko fall. You saw the other two rise on that list.
Yeah, I mean, the one I'm looking at was when they were projecting the 2006-2007 season. They had AK, Okur, and Boozer all in the top 50, but they did not have Darren Williams, and that was the year that Darren really put himself on the map.
Yeah, it was. And then the very next year, you saw Boozer and Darren in the top 20 on that list, I think. And, yeah, we watched it, and we watched it firsthand here, where Kirilenko definitely hid off in the shadows for quite a while there and was the X factor if he could ever get something together. Anyway, that's a different discussion and a different road to go down. But the point being is that trying to find some lists of this nature is very difficult to find. ESPN with their NBA rank, which I'm expecting about a month from now to see this year's rankings. But other than that, we just haven't seen a comprised list like this.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to talk about when ESPN does theirs has kind of become the definitive one. But I'm sure Fox Sports will put one out. CBS will probably put one out. And it's just kind of fun to see where all the national guys are thinking everyone's going to fit.
Yep. You were going to say something else a minute ago.
One thing they tried to talk about the players in isolation. And this is something we've talked about a lot, but, when you look at where these guys are ranked, do you think the fact that Dante Exum's out for the year, do you think that will affect, their full potential this year?
That's hard to say. With Rudy, yes and no, because I almost feel like, and a lot of us, I think when we watched it, I thought we felt like Rudy was a part of the reason why everybody else got so much better. And so Rudy might be that anomaly. And we talked about that piece last week that was written where we discussed Rudy being an anomaly a little bit. So I'm not sure I can say that about Rudy. Gordon, though, yeah, I could see that. We saw in his first official year starting when Ty was coach, he went through some growing pains because he was the guy. And he was the guy without a whole lot of talent or capable hands around him. Whereas this last year we saw better than marginal improvement from him in a system with Quinn, because now you had other guys that were stepping up and playing much better. And maybe having Dante Exum in the starting lineup after January 22nd was a big thing for the Jazz and for Gordon Hayward. I actually think what affected Gordon's numbers more was having Alec Burks go down in December and not come back, and even more load fell on Gordon than had previously done so. And so, yeah, I do think that that Dante Exum, along with a couple other teammates, having Alec Burks back could affect Gordon in particular.
That's true. And the thing with last year is Gordon stepped up to the plate, and he did become the leader of the team, him and Derek. And, you know, Gordon's, he's never really had a great point guard on his team. I mean, Darren was traded his rookie year, and so he kind of went through Devin Harris and Mo Williams and Trey Burke and Dante Exum. So he's never had that confident on the same level point guard. Now I think, and, you know, we're going to go through it again. Any improvement Trey Burke has is going to be icing on the cake. But that's, I think that's what intrigues me most about this coming summer is, or this coming season, is what is Alec Burke's game going to be like with Rudy Gobert as his starting center? I think that's what intrigues me a lot.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I just had this epiphany while you were talking to me here a second ago, and it kind of, it's something I think we need to watch for this. The break down into specific microcosms and events during the course of the year last year to see things that took place. So the start of the season, we all know, was pretty, it took the Jazz a while to get their feet under them last year. I don't know. I think we were all in agreement last year, Devin and John, but you guys remind me, but I think right around December time, I think it was Memphis, we decided was a big turnaround game for the Jazz, wasn't it? Was that Memphis game right before Christmas, I think, right before Alec Burks went down. Isn't that about right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm looking at this from purely, not even a statistical standpoint, but purely an eyeball test. The Jazz found some sort of a rhythm in that Memphis game. Specifically, Gordon and Alec seemed to start clicking together. Because we saw in that fourth quarter against Memphis, it was on the road, Jazz needed a win, and the two of them carried the team to a victory in that game. So we started seeing, okay, maybe something comes of this. And then Alec goes down, and suddenly it's like, oh no, where are we going? Well, the next big event was what? Trey being put on the bench and Dante being brought into the starting lineup, and that was January 22nd-ish, I think, that third week of January, and things started shifting again. And we had already seen one development from Rudy Gobert taking the reins of an injured, you know, Cantor at the end of December as well, right around the same time with Alec Burks. But we didn't see where that was going to take us until, what was it, start of February, when we saw Rudy starting regularly. So I'm wondering if we're going to see those same type of events take place this year. We're going to have to see whether Gordon and Alec can get back on the same page like they were in that game for Memphis, whether they can coexist on the floor and make things work. Because if they do, that's huge. And then you add to that, if Trey Burke can be that icing on the cake, how are they going to fill the position being, you know, vacated by Dante Exum? And where is Rudy going to be for an entire season versus just the final 29 games of the season? What to expect? And that, so again, this all hangs a great deal on Gordon, on Rudy, and maybe we're going to watch a certain set of events stacking as the season goes on that make the Jazz kind of put them over the hump to getting better. If you guys follow my thinking here.
Yeah. And the thing with Alec is he's such a good slasher. Hayward has really did a lot of that last year, especially once Alec was out, a lot of that driving to the basket.
Yes.
And I wonder if Hayward's going to play more perimeter, because Hayward's a really good 3-point shooter when he has time or when he's open. A lot of the fluctuation he had in his 3-point shot was when he was rushing things or when he had two guys on him. So I think that when you have another slashing option like Alec, we might see Hayward refine his perimeter game a little bit. And it also makes me wish that we had a point guard who could hit that three, because I think that will be a piece to Quinn's system that would really help everything flow. And hopefully Burke or Neto or whoever the third guard is, if it's going to be Cotton or somebody else, that they can, you know, just spend extra time in the gym working on that, because we need that piece to be there.
No, I agree. And let's not forget that the best three-point shooter of the game for the Jazz during the first 3 months of the season, 2 months of the season last year, was Alec Burks at 38%. So even if he returns to partial form, and Locke mentioned this on Twitter earlier today or yesterday about whether we'll see Alec return to that form, but if you can get Alec to shooting that well, you might see an adjustment in his game a little bit. I just, there is so many what ifs right now and so many different things that I want to see gel in the chemistry of this team on the court. And I think they will. It might be a matter of time. I wonder if we're going to see a stretch during the beginning of the season where we're going to see a team trying to gel again, because you've got components that have been out of the mix for 6-8 months that weren't there, you know, previously during that last run. And maybe that's going to take a while to gel, and then we're going to see it happen. And I think the Jazz will settle in and we'll probably have a really good season after that.
Yeah.
So anyway, just some random thoughts. I don't know what you had next, but I wanted to bring up an article that we're all that I've been being entertained watching the two of you going back and forth about tonight. There's an article when we were doing our little online search today that I found that people will find very intriguing. Back in 2012. And I'm trying to make sure I knew who the group was and the writers were that did this. ESPN did a thing in 2012 called the best NBA players of 2015. And so Kevin Arnovitz was one of the main guys in it. Michael Pina, I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that right, Graydon Gordian, and Noam Schiller of Hardware Paroxysm, as well as Darius Soriano of Forum Blue and Gold. These guys did like a group, like a panel discussion of who the best players at each position would be in 2015. I got a kick out of rereading this. And I know you did too, because we talked about this off air. Thoughts on this list?
Yeah, a lot of it was right. A lot of it wound up being what happened. For those who haven't read it, it's pretty much a 5-on-5. And for best point guard, I guess that's where the amusement comes, is none of them had Steph Curry as who would be the best point guard in 2015.
No, as a matter of fact, they had Chris Paul. Two of them had Chris Paul, while the other three had had the guard opposite of Curry in the finals, or at least for part of the finals, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was the one where people were surprised. But shooting guard, they all had James Harden. Small forward, they either had LeBron or Kevin Durant, and the ones who picked Durant picked LeBron as the best power forward. But then your other options in power forward were
Blake Griffin.
One for Blake Griffin, one for Kevin Love, one for Anthony Davis. But then two more put Anthony Davis for best center.
And the other three had Dwight Howard.
Centers. Yeah. So most of those are right.
I think we'll all question the Dwight Howard pick now. Bring on Dwight Howard hate.
I don't know. He was pretty good last year.
Yeah, but was he the best center in the league last year?
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
He wasn't. He kind of redeemed himself in the playoffs for some of the stuff he did in the regular season.
Yeah, he did. Who was the best center in the league last year, in your opinion? I mean, and I guess it's hard to argue against Rudy for the final 29 games of the season, but overall, who was the
best
center
in
the league?
Rudy was the best center in the final 29 games. Overall, last year... Oh, gosh. It might have been DeAndre, actually.
Hard to argue that point. And I think power forward had to have been Davis.
Yeah.
Davis solidified himself in that position. Davis had a killer year last year. And look at him. He got a paycheck to take care of him for the next 5 or 6 years in the NBA because of it. So,
yeah, and he's going to be on TV a lot more this year. Pelicans are going to get a lot more publicity, and I'm glad that more people are going to catch on to him, because whenever I have seen him, he's lived up to his number one pick in the draft. Everything that people said is coming to pass with him, and I'm glad to see him live up to that.
Thing is, he's well-rounded. He's a phenomenal defender, and I would say that he's a better than average, way better than average defender. But the guy's got some range too. He can shoot the ball really well.
Yeah, that's what I remember most about the last game he played the Jazz, was he hit a lot of outside jumpers on him, and so he just had real versatility I hadn't really thought about.
I think play of the year might be that that dribble and kind of fadeaway 3-point shot from about 40 feet out that won the game for them against, and I can't even remember who it was against, but made the Sports Center top play of that night.
Yep.
So, thoughts, Devin? You've been going over your best players of this coming year. So, just to tell the folks, we went over this article. I shared it with these guys, and I says, we want to go over who our best players. And while we're not going to go in depth on who our best players are tonight, because we're going
to... They got to go to tornedbysports.com when the article finally publishes.
Yes, you'll see this article. If you're listening to us tomorrow, which you will be, we know you will be, the article will post on Thursday at tornedbysports.com, because the three of us... Four of us, we're going to have Grant join in on this too, but we're going to have our picks for who the best players are. But thoughts on your list so far, or thoughts on this particular list we're talking about, Devin?
You know, I don't think Chris Paul is getting the credit he deserves. You know, he's getting the credit back then, but he's still arguably the best point guard in the NBA. I'm not going to say if I have him as the best player at that position in 2015, but you could really make the case for him. I mean, Steph's got the shot, but if you go outside the shot, I think Paul is still one of the elite players.
I can agree with that. John?
Let me ask you this. I think everyone would say Steph Curry, number one, Chris Paul, number two, and you could argue maybe Chris is number one, but who is the third best point guard?
Trey Burke.
It's kind of a steep drop off after that. Who?
Mr. Trey Burke.
Trey Burke.
No, you know who I would put in there, and this all depends on health. Kyrie Irving was coming into his own. I might have to put him in the discussion for a top three.
Yeah, Kyrie, and then this coming year, John Wall might be able to get himself into that.
Yeah, I was going to say, John Wall should be up there.
Yeah, especially with the way he tore through things with Washington last year. I think they went under the radar, even when they got into the playoffs, went under the radar, very underrated. He'll be in the discussion this year if he continues to help Washington get even better. Would we all agree on that?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if Washington falters again and takes a step back to where they were, say, 2 years ago, I'm not sure you can put John Wall at the best of the best at point guards at that point in time. I mean, from what he's doing for his team and from what the team is doing.
Well, I think the thing that holds Wall back is his outside shooting. He was only a 30% from three last year. He's never been that great an outside shooter. And outside shooting is something that those other three guys have. They're all great at the outside shot. But Wall is so fast, and he's such a good defender, that he still makes himself be in the conversation. And I think he had 10 assists a game last year.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so he's one of the best assist men in the NBA.
I won't discount what you're saying either, because guy's lightning quick. I dare anybody to come up with a point guard in the league that's faster than than John Wall right now, because I don't know that there is one. Kyrie Irving's fast, but I still don't think he's near as quick as John Wall.
What about Westbrook? I think Russell Westbrook's kind of getting lost in the shuffle here.
Dang, that's...
Forget Westbrook. He's still not as fast as John Wall, but we are forgetting, especially if he's healthy and with a healthy Durant and with Oklahoma City Thunder being in the playoff discussion again. Good point, Devin. Way to bring Westbrook right back into this.
Yeah, he has to be in the conversation.
Yes, he does. And he's a guy who was leading the scoring... did he win the scoring title? No, he didn't win the scoring title, but he sure was at the top, near the top of that list for a while there too.
Are we over trying to put Derrick Rose in the discussion? Is that door closed?
Yes.
Oh, Devin's going to say yes. I'm afraid to say anything because I've always liked Derrick Rose, but until he can come completely away from that injury and show me something special, I don't know. I'm not answering that yet. It's to be determined.
I'll tell you what I think every time I hear Derrick Rose is back to full strength. I think Chicago needs to hurry and trade him before he gets injured again, because that just seems to be the way that it goes. I'm not convinced that he is ever going to be the MVP caliber player that he was. I'm not there. I think he's good. He's a talent. I'd love to have him on the Jazz over Trey Burke. No offense, Trey. But top three? No. Top five? No. Top 10? Yeah. I'll put Rose in my top 10, but I'm not going to give him a top five spot.
He played 51 games last year. Which is more than he played the 3 years combined. Gosh, I'm looking at this. He played 81 games in the 2010-2011 season, 39 and 12, none in 13, 10 and 14, and then 51 this past season.
And when he played the first half of the season, you could see the mental part of the game, especially when it came to cutting and going to the hoop and getting that explosive speed that because I would argue he was the only player 4 years ago that I would say was nearly as quick as John Wall. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of with Devin there. I don't want to say that I don't think he can be in that list yet, but I'm having a hard time. It's to be determined. Like I said,
let me ask you guys this. If you had the option of Derrick Rose or Dame Lillard, who would you take?
Lillard.
Lillard.
Okay. Kyrie Irving or Rose?
Kyrie.
Kyrie.
Mike Conley or Rose?
Conley.
Conley.
that
see what I'm saying?
That one I didn't even hesitate on, sadly, but... if Rose gets back to form, I might hesitate more on that. It's all dependent on whether he can.
You would, but I don't know that anyone's going to have the confidence that Rose is going to stay healthy. I just don't know that it's there.
Yeah. Well, and again, you're talking about differences in styles of game there with those guys too. You've got Derrick Rose who... I'll be honest, it doesn't surprise me he got injured, because early on in his career when we'd watch him, the first thought that came to mind is this guy plays almost without thought of injury and just goes hard at the hoop, puts himself and his body out there, and I had the feeling something was going to eventually happen. I'm hoping that he's learned from that a little bit, and it seems that he has, but I don't want him to be timid either. But he's a lot different than those other guys. Conley might be the smartest guy on that list of guys who is just, he knows his limitations and he plays them. And he plays them like he's supposed to. And he's one of the best defensive guards in the NBA. You know, and then there's Lillard. I don't think there's any questioning what talent Lillard really has, truthfully. The guy's just a stud.
Yeah, he is, but I think we're all in agreement who our top five point guards would be. And then our 6 through 10 maybe Rose makes that, but there are, I know there are 10 point guards in the league I would take before Derrick Rose, because he's never proven he's been able to come back from that injury all the way.
What about Patrick Beverley over Rose?
Beverley?
Would you take Beverley if you had the choice between the two?
I'm
just throwing random names out there. Come on.
I take Rose.
I might take Rose. I mean, Beverly's not even starting on his own team right now.
I agree. Devin's throwing out random names. I'm throwing out the first name that comes to mind.
What about Tony Parker?
Oh
my gosh. Forgot about Tony Parker.
We forgot Parker and on a rejuvenated Spurs team. Yeah, forgot.
Yeah, Parker's numbers are slipping a bit, but he's still. Gosh, I don't know. Okay. Our consensus top five was Steph Curry, Chris Paul, John Wall, Kyrie Irving, Russell Westbrook. Not necessarily in that order.
Yes.
Is Parker ahead of any of those five?
No.
I think Parker's probably my number six. And even then, you know, there are other guards I would take above Parker just because they're younger.
Let me present the names to you again. Damian Lillard or Tony Parker?
Now, Damian Lillard.
Which is why I'm not sure we can put Parker at number six on our list either, because already you've named one guard you'd take now over Parker. So I'd almost put Lillard number six.
We got to approach it this way, though. Who would you take and you know you only get him for this next year?
Yeah, one season with these guys.
One season.
You only get one season. You get to build your super team and then it's over. Like when the Lakers try to win a championship.
All right. One team, and I'm going to put aside our top five consensus top five. Then I might actually go with Tony Parker. Fine. If you want to put restrictions on my choice, fine. And anybody listening, we want to hear from you. Give us your list. There, I'm putting that to our listeners. Give us your list. Top five, if you agree with our consensus, and who is your sixth point guard on that list if you could build? Is it going to be Tony Parker? Is it going to be Damian Lillard? Who's it going to be?
You know what I think we need to do? I think every week we need to go position by position, and we need to make a consensus top 10 for one season, who we would take in what order.
That's a killer idea. We just did point guard today. Next episode, we're doing shooting guard, I guess. That's going to be one of our segments. We'll go shooting guard. John, are you opposed to this idea?
I am not opposed.
I like it. Okay, folks, so Thursday, post goes out on our our picks for top five positions, you know, position spots in the NBA. But going forward, you have this to look forward in future episodes. Leading up to the NBA, each week we're going to give you our consensus top five at that position in the NBA. I am looking forward to this. Here's a question. Does Gordon Hayward fit in the top five in small forward? Don't answer that. I'm just saying.
Tune in 2 weeks to find out.
So there you go. Oh, any other thoughts, topics tonight, John?
We actually spent a good meal of time on that, so I think we're okay.
I think so, too. Devin?
Yes, Alan?
I'm asking you. Any other topics to add or thoughts to add?
No, Alan. No, the thing I thought about, and I have to do this because it's opening
week. What's his name from Home Improvement? No, Alan.
Smart ass. Yes, this is a PG episode,
but
I don't care.
This is a family show. This is a family show. How dare you?
All right, continue your thought, Devin, before you get in trouble more.
No, I was just going to say where it's opening week for college football, you had mentioned Fox Sports 1 doing their top position players, and I would just say that they would probably do Jim Harbaugh for everything. So,
cupcake.
I'm sick of the Michigan stories.
Cupcake.
Can it be week 2 already?
And cupcake.
So opening
he's the vodka of Fox Sports.
Do you want me to deliver a box of a dozen cupcakes to you in the mail, Devin?
Yes, please. I like cupcakes. Nope, I just want to say good luck to the Utes, and I will say good luck to the Cougars as they take on Nebraska this week.
Are you feeling okay? You struggled to say that last good luck.
I just want more listeners, and I want more 5-star ratings, Alan.
John, if you could see him now, he is struggling with that last statement he made to good luck to the Cougars. He's struggling mightily.
Good luck, Aggies. Good luck, Weber State Wildcats. Good luck, you Southern Utah schools that I think play football. Good luck to everybody.
There you go. College football. Here we come. All right. Finally, we never end our podcast without at least a small segment on, anything pop culture. John, you got something to contribute tonight?
I saw the movie No Escape, which is the Owen Wilson stuck in a foreign country movie.
And
it was entertaining. It held my interest throughout. I did feel kind of... It did kind of weird me out on the xenophobia of it all because it's a white American and he's trapped in this nameless Asian country with this violent coup going on where they're overthrowing the government. And it's not just that they're caught in the middle of this thing that happens to be going on. The guys that are overthrowing the government specifically want to kill Owen Wilson's character, and they're deliberately hunting him. And so they're chasing him and his wife and his two daughters, and they're going all over this country trying to find a way out. And all of that's it's basically one long chasing, which is great. But the foreign aspect of it just kind of felt weird in this day and age. It felt like something that you would have done in an 80s movie. But to do it these days just kind of it felt antiquated.
Is it sad that I really don't know much about this movie, nor does it even sound remotely interesting to me?
No, I mean, it didn't have much publicity. It was a movie that was financed independently that the Weinsteins just kind of bought and threw out there in the last week of August, which is usually one of the worst weekends for new movies to open.
Yes, it is.
I will also mention that Zac Efron had a new movie open this weekend. It was called We Are Your Friends. It was a drama about him trying to make it as a DJ. It was the third worst opening of all time.
Ouch. And that's including
not want to see it.
That's including the really horrible opening weekend for Fantastic Four too, I take it.
Oh, yeah, easily. No, this I'm trying to remember the two movies that were worse. The worst opening of all time was the Oogie Loves movie. And I don't remember what was second, but We Are Your Friends is now third, the third worst opening of all time.
And you just mentioned a movie I've never heard of in my entire life. Oogie Loves. Oogie. I just...
Never saw it, never had a desire to see it. Apparently it's some British TV show for five-year-olds that they tried to make a movie out of.
I'm going to throw in one tidbit. We discussed off air, but I'm not going to go into this one, but the tidbit I'm going to throw out is it was announced either today or yesterday, The Blacklist Season 2 will be available on Netflix in 2 weeks, and it will be... perfect timing to lead you up to season 3. So good time to binge watch seasons 1 and 2 and get ready for season 3 of The Blacklist starring James Spader because it's good. And I enjoyed it. And I'll talk it up a lot because I enjoyed it. I just finished binge watching Daredevil finally as well.
Oh, I still got 2 to go.
Oh, so good. Marvel did it right. One of the best Netflix series I've watched to date. Marvel did it 100% right. So, all right. And I'd ask Devin to add his 2 cents worth when it comes to pop culture, but...
I watched a movie.
What'd you watch?
Did you now?
I did. I watched a 2011 movie called Warrior. I'm not sure if either of you guys saw
that.
That is a fantastic movie.
That is one to hunt down if people haven't seen it. Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton.
I had never even heard of it before last week, and I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, that made my top 10 that year, and it bombed when it came out. No one had really heard of it. No one had really knew who Tom Hardy was quite yet at that point, but yeah, it's a great one to hunt down if people haven't seen it.
And for those listening, I am extremely proud of Devin, because this is the most I've ever gotten out of him when it comes to pop culture and movie discussion. Devin, gold star. Well done.
I'll watch another movie this weekend so we can talk about it. We'll call it Movies from 5 years Ago.
And that's okay. We'll discuss those too.
Or we can call it Late to the Party.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, that's what I watched, and I thought it was fantastic. So if people haven't seen it, I would recommend finding it and watching it.
There you go. Devin's pick of the week, folks. The Warrior. Go see it. Go
just
rent
Warrior.
It.
Warrior.
Go find it. Oh, just Warrior. Warrior. Not the Warrior, just Warrior.
Warrior.
There you go. Warrior. Well done, Devin. All right. Well, if nothing further, I want to thank you all for joining us on yet another edition of Jedi and Germs. And we'll look for this to, you know, we'd love your comments. We'd love your interaction. Please comment on us on Facebook, Jedi and Germs, Twitter, @ Jedi and Germs. And you can get in touch with each one of us @ Jedi Zog, @ Germs Guy, and @ Torn by Devin. And the Jedi and Germs account, folks, still haven't been able to get rid of the unpaid intern yet. You'd think unpaid we could find a way out of it. We can't. He's stuck with us. So there you go. Leave us a 5-star review. Can't stress enough. We would love it if you did so. A review on iTunes. It helps us out. It helps us get seen. And as the NBA starts, we would love more interaction and more people to listen and give us their thoughts. Thank you, as always, to Devin Masters for putting together a fantastic production every week and for letting me come and invade his house in order to do this podcast. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next week. John, take us out.
That's all for the Top 40. I'm Casey Kasem.